Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. On today's Pardon My Take, it is time for the QB bracket, Billy's QB bracket. We have no guests today because of the circumstances this week, but we have a great show for you. We're going to talk all the NBA playoffs, all NHL playoffs, Billy's QB bracket. We have some baseball talk, blue checkmark talk, and we had a bub off, which was the bub off that everyone will remember, and Firefest of the Week. Great show for you. Kind of old school feel. All the AWL's been with us since day one. We're remote, old school feel.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, let's go.
Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take. Today is Friday, April 21st, and I think we should start with Dylan Brooks being the LeBron stopper. We'll get to the Sixers-Nets because Max was there and he thinks the NBA is rigged against his Sixers, but PFT, Dylan Brooks, he will not respect you unless you put 40 on him.
Yeah, that's my motto too. But I mean, like, you got to hand me a steel reserve and then I'm good. But I respect the fuck out of Dylan Brooks. He's poking the bear. He said that he wished that he would have gotten a chance to guard LeBron when he was in Cleveland or Miami because it would have been a harder task. He said, I don't care. He's old. I poke bears. I don't respect no one until they come out and give me 40. I love this because we're going to get to see if LeBron's going to come out and be able to respond to it. Or if LeBron is actually old. This might be the moment. Every player has a moment. And sometimes it takes somebody from the outside to just point out, LeBron might have just gotten old overnight.
It is now, I'm going to say it right now, game three for LeBron is a legacy game. His first ever legacy game. His entire legacy, if he doesn't score 40. I just love the unless you put 40 on me. So if someone put 38 on him, no respect. 39, no respect. 40. All right, now you get a little respect. But yeah, Dylan Brooks, like that, the game in Memphis on Wednesday night, the theme was teams without their best player doing very well because the Bucks also scored 138 on the Heat without Giannis. But no Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, Xavier Tillman, who I don't know if you guys saw this moment. It was such a like pure, honest moment because Xavier Tillman played a lot this year but also had some DNPs. Afterwards, they asked him, they're like, did you think that you would be the one doing the courtside interview on TNT or whatever is ESPN? And before he could compose himself, he just let out a hell no.
And then he's like, wait, well, I'm live right now. Like, I probably should have a little more respect for myself. But Xavier Tillman was incredible. Anthony Davis was a no-show. And I don't know if it was simply the Lakers were like, all right, we won one on the road. We're good. But the Grizzlies have life. And it feels like if John Morant can come back in this series, although I saw some Grizzlies fans saying that Tyus Jones is actually better for their offense. So we got a little Ewing theory going on.
Yeah, so when I saw this, I was obviously thinking to myself, are the Grizzlies better without Ja Morant? And then I saw what was happening in the Bucks game, and I was like, wait, are the Bucks actually better without Giannis Antetokounmpo? And then I saw, what was the third game? It was
Nuggets.
Yeah. That's right, the Nuggets game. Wolves. Then that was a tough one to make that comparison. And but I think if we're looking at the LeBron James Dylan Brooks beef, we might have to take LeBron James' side in this. I respect Dylan Brooks saying it, but I'm saying this as like a like in defense of podcasters nationwide, because I've done some research into Dylan Brooks, and he's gone at a lot of guys. He's a known pest. He's gone at our good friend Draymond Green and said that, like, Draymond's a podcaster and a blogger. I don't respect him. LeBron James kind of fits that podcaster mold when you think about it. Like, LeBron James is a podcaster without a podcast yet. He's drunk all the time. He loves Drake, and he lived with his mom until he had a real job. And I'm just saying, in podcaster solidarity, we might have to defend Dylan. We might have to defend LeBron James a little bit, even though it goes against every fiber of our being.
Well, we should point out too, Dylan Brooks seemed like a totally normal and not this agitator guy until Coach K coached him up in that handshake line with Duke Oregon. That was pretty much the moment that Dylan Brooks became the Joker. I'm rooting for I'm probably gonna have to take this back later on if the Lakers make a deep run. I'm rooting for LeBron James to 40 piece him just because I'm a sports fan. And that would be like a great moment, because there is something about Dylan Brooks. You need a guy like that who has that irrational confidence, who's like, I'm the man. LeBron's old. I'm gonna poke the bear. But in these stories, you kind of want to see LeBron just go off and put Dylan Brooks in a hole. Like, you just do, because that's it would be a great story. And it's not that I'm rooting for the Lakers. I'm definitely not. But it would be fun to see LeBron just, like, put an all-time vintage LeBron performance right on Dylan Brooks' head and have that be the story going into game four.
Unless there's 40, then it's not a win. He has to get 40. If he gets 39, we'll not respect it. We should actually put a bet on the sports book, LeBron James, to earn Dylan Brooks' respect. Over 39 and a half points.
And LeBron is, I mean, Dylan Brooks is a very good defender. And LeBron also, if you've noticed, you can see at times during games when LeBron just doesn't feel like playing defense. And he had that moment late when Dylan Brooks hit a three and LeBron just was like maybe 10 feet away from him. Just like, nah, I'm not even gonna, I'll just let him shoot this. But I this is one of those series. Like, I think we all went into the playoffs being like, there's gonna be some great first round series for the first time in a while. And this is one of those ones that could absolutely be that, because you got genuine bad blood. And if John Morant comes back, hoping the series goes 6 or 7 and we get more moments like this.
Yeah, no, I'm rooting for it. Hank, can you make sure to put that bet in there? Because I'm going to hammer LeBron James over 39 and a half points to earn that respect.
Yeah, we'll boost it.
It is a fun series. It is a very fun series. Grizzlies just play in fun series. That's just what they do.
Yeah.
They're kind of like they're a crazy team. They're super talented, but they're also liable to like complete self-implosion, and they're also liable to just start fights everywhere in the middle of a game.
Yeah. And I don't know, like I said, I do think there was a little, it felt a little like the Lakers were like, all right, we won our game. I mean, Anthony Davis was just getting bullied by Xavier Tillman all night. So we'll see. I mean, if John Morant comes back and we get the 40 piece from LeBron. Oh, fuck. I cannot believe that Dylan Brooks has put me in a spot where I'm actually rooting for LeBron James to 40 piece him.
This gives me like Lance Stevenson blowing in LeBron's ear 10 years ago vibes.
And the one I always bring up, Ruben Patterson, when he said he was the Kobe stopper, and he was not, but he said it, and it felt good when he said it.
And Deshaun Stevenson, when he was on the Wizards and they were battling against LeBron on the Cavs, and they had a couple good series in the playoffs, And I think LeBron said, comparing me to Deshaun Stevenson is like comparing Soulja Boy to Jay-Z, which, yeah, I get that. But also Soulja Boy, he's got some certified bangers. Oh. I've seen the interviews on The Breakfast Club.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, other games that night. Yeah, the Bucks put up 138 without Giannis. Joe Ingles was going off. Also, kind of in the same vein as Dylan Brooks, Bobby Portis. Now, we like Kevin Love. He's a recurring guest. We want to have him back on. Bobby Portis, every team needs a Bobby Portis because Bobby Portis was mad at Kevin Love for taking a charge that injured Giannis. I don't know how many times. I don't have the actual tracker, but I think I saw it at least twice. Him just like yelling at Kevin Love, "You're a bitch." And it was like getting picked up on the camera. And that's the crazy energy that you need out of a guy like Bobby Portis, who like he was personally offended that Kevin Love was there for Giannis's injury and then decided to take it out on the Heat and Kevin Love on Wednesday night.
Yeah, but Heat culture officially dead. Can we get a dead or alive check on them?
Yeah.
Jake?
I don't know. That was a tough one.
Keep saying it's dead. You guys said it was dead, and here they are. They stole one in Milwaukee. They have home court in a five-game series.
I do think you saw two things, those two games specifically with Giannis and Ja Morant out. Like, there is a pride aspect for the rest of the guys where they're like, you know, this is our best player, but we're still good too. And you could tell the Bucks felt that way after when they're like, we have the best player in the world, but we're also really good players and we're still a very good team and he's going to be back and we're going to be that much scarier. I think I saw the stat. It was the most points ever in a playoff game where the team was missing their leading scorer. So it was crazy. They just could not miss. They hit every fucking shot. And the Heat now, I mean, when Giannis comes back, it's going to be curtains for the Heat. Wouldn't you say, Jake?
I mean,
come on,
probably, but they're in it right now.
Yeah. It's a five game series. Big cat. Did you not hear that? It's a five game series. Heat has home court. The vaunted Miami home court advantage.
Remember last Friday night, rewind a week ago, our two teams were battling it out and we're like, do we even want to win this game?
The Bulls suck.
Right, the Heat kind of sucked too that week. They lost to the Hawks by a million, and then here they are a week later. If you told me this would be the scenario, I'd be like, yeah.
1-1. 1-1. And then PFT, your Nuggets beat your Wolves. That game, I know that there's a lot of complaints about NBA referees. That game was phenomenal because Anthony Edwards had 41, I think, and Jamal Murray had 40. They were just going off. And then the refs were just like, nah, we'll just control the entire flow of this fourth quarter and suck all the energy out of this place. So, and I also, the only other take I had from that game, I hate to pick on people, but is Karl Anthony Towns just the worst, like, best guy in the league? He's got to be, right?
He probably the worst best. I think that's fair to say. He is back-to-back play-in tournament advancer. So they've got a mini dynasty going on that one. He's just built for the play-in series. But yeah, he's so good, and he also sucks at the exact same time.
Right.
He's the best player that sucks.
Yeah, yeah, he's the worst best player in the NBA.
Or is he the that's a different conversation. Is he the worst best player in the NBA, or is he the best worst player in the NBA?
We did this with Dion for like four pro football shows in a row. He's not the best worst because I don't think he's bad. He is good. He just is not good in the playoffs, and he plays bad.
I agree 100%. I think that Murray, Jokic, and Porter, they're not – I can't say they're a big three yet. We can't call them a big three in Denver. But they're a very, very good mid three, I guess. And I don't know. I when they cook together, when they're all playing, like if the worst one out of those three has an average game, then the Nuggets can and will beat most teams that they play against. So I'm still very optimistic about the future there. It's hard to say, though, because the Wolves they look completely lost. And I did want to give a shout-out to Kyle and the Face by Rudy Gobert. And Kyle at the ref. Kyle Anderson, he's not scared. He went back for more, and he got in his face. He's a good teammate. Certified best teammate on that team.
Yeah, the Kyle Anderson thing, remember we brought it up to Danny Hurley, how his like restraint in that moment with Rudy Gobert showed how good of a teammate he was. So I'm not surprised. Like, he's a great teammate. Rudy Gobert tried to fight him, and he's still there for him.
He's still trying to hold him back, trying to protect himself from himself.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I think what everyone's been waiting for, the Sixers-Nets, Max was there, NBA rigged, but the Sixers overcame that. It was a crazy game because we had Embiid almost get kicked out, like, what, 3 minutes into the game when he got stepped over and then kicked someone in the balls. James Harden did get kicked out for what seemed like an innocuous, like, he didn't, it was kind of like a, even in slow-mo, I was like, I guess he hit him in the nuts, but it really didn't seem like it was ejection-worthy. Claxton got kicked out. The Sixers found a way to win late. Tyrese Maxey hit a big three. And then, again, I hate to do it because we, as Russell Westbrook has told us, name is very important, but Spencer Dinwiddie deciding that he was going to try to test Joel Embiid at the rim with 9 seconds left. I don't think he's ever overcoming the Din Shitty nickname. I think that play was Din Shitty, where he's like, let me go, let me watch out, everyone. I got this. We're down two. I'm gonna go to the rack with Joel Embiid standing there perfectly for help defense when he swats him away, and then Din Shitty just stands there being like, I got fouled. It was like a perfect block.
And then at the end of the game, was it Melton who intercepted that pass and then drove down to seal the game with that? The fast break at the end, that was an awesome play. I don't know if people are going to like key on it, but when I was watching it, I was like, this is one of the first times that I've seen a player on defense do like what Trayvon Diggs does on defense in the NFL, which is like bait you, pretend like he's going to follow his guy, and then just make a cut and try to like pick off an easy, like it was almost like jumping in front of a slant route. He jumped the route on the pass and put the game away. That was an awesome ending to the game. And as far as the James Harden thing goes, I actually think that what Embiid did was way worse because he actually tried to kick him super hard in the nuts, and that would have hurt a lot. James Harden just kind of had his arm out like he was guarding himself, like most players do when they drive into contact a little bit. And his hand, it looked like the ball hit the hand. The hand didn't hit the ball, if that makes sense. So like yes. I wouldn't even call it a nut shot. I would call it's just like there was contact there, and maybe I don't know ball, and maybe I don't know the rule, but when you're on offense, that's not ever called as a foul if he does that exact same thing to any other part of the defender's body, right? They won't even call that, but because it hit him in the groin, then he's kicked out of the game. That doesn't make sense to me.
It was one of those situations where usually, like, when an ejection happens, you're like, all right, well, if we watch the slow-mo replay, we'll be able to figure this out, and something we didn't see, because in real time, it was like, oh, he got hit in the balls, but it wasn't anything nefarious. Then they showed it in instant replay, slow-mo replay, and I was like, yeah, I still kind of don't see what happened here, that why this would be an ejection. I do think it was just a makeup call for Embiid. And to defend Embiid for a second, you can't step over another man. I mean, listen, Hank has never recovered from Jake stepping over him. So, that like, your reaction is going to be, I'm going to kick him in the ball. So, Max was there. If you watch Max's game time ad in the first quarter, he was as aggro Max as he could be from the jump. Max, you think the league has it out for you?
No, I mean, it was just blatant at halftime. There was something that happened. There was something that happened at halftime. People were upset about that Embiid didn't get kicked out of the game, which they shouldn't be, because who the fuck does Nick Claxton think that he is stepping over Joel Embiid like that? He absolutely had every right. He could have taken a ball away, and I think that would have been justified. But there was – it wasn't even just the Harden thing. There was zero – the Nets had zero fouls in the second half until 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
it was insane.
They wanted a long series.
They obviously wanted to see it. They wanted the game to go more than four games. It's not going to. Tyrese Maxey is a star. He's an absolute star. The way he picked up Harden going out today was unbelievable. That step back three to put him up three it brought a tear to my eye. I was going nuts in the stands.
You don't say.
I almost felt bad. Like during the Harden, during so So they go to the table and they just keep showing the replay on the Jumbotron. And I am freaking out saying that it's a defensive foul. I'm like, why are we looking at this? It's a defensive foul. He's all up in his grill. How, like, why is this taking so long? This is the worst review in the history of the NBA. And then, like, all of a sudden, it's like they go to the thing and it's like James Harden has been ejected from the game. And I like sat down. I was like, what's going on? And everyone in my section was looking at me and they were like, That's the best call I've ever seen. That's the best call I've ever seen.
You just spit on yourself.
Oh, I mean,
yeah.
I had so many emotions flying towards the end of that game. But at the end of the day, Tyrese Maxey came through.
Yeah.
He was a great player, and Joel Embiid, not his best game, but that block at the end, that's still Joe.
That's yeah, still how Joe.
How about your man Ben Simmons? He was at the game tonight. And he's not going to the games when they're on the road in Philly. I think he's afraid of Philly.
I wish I knew that. I had no idea.
What would you have done?
I mean, I think they could hear me. I think yeah, everyone on that court like could it. Hear me. Great game time seats. Great game time seats. I was on their ass. I was on their ass all night.
I wish they could have. I wish I had known that. It would have gone down different. Mark Wahlberg over here. All right. So we're – yeah, I mean, it's – it feels good. I want the Celtics Sixers to be set up as fast as possible. So I was happy the Sixers won. It did feel like something was up. I mean, that's the NBA, right? Like they can be like, hey, let's put out a couple refs, see if we can extend this series by one. But the Sixers proved that they're able to overcome mm-hmm. the refs. Are you a Tyrese Maxey fan extra because he his last name?
It's been my Twitter name for like 2 years now is Maxey Delente spelled EY. I do like it. It's nice. It's fun that we kind of share a name.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. And just to clean it up, because we are looking forward already to the Celtics Sixers series. You're going Soul Patch, right? It's a Soul Patch bet officially for Soul Patch Summer.
Yeah, sure. But Hank doesn't even have a fucking Soul Patch.
No, it's there. I can see it. I think because Big Cat, you're a massive B-Ball Paul fan.
Huge.
I'm a massive Josh Harris fan. I'll take Max's side and I'll do the Soul Patch bet if you take Hank's side.
Or I would be interested in possibly doing a Soul Patch bet where you guys can just set a line for B-Ball Paul points for the entire series. And if he doesn't hit it, I'll just get a Soul Patch.
Okay. All right. All right. So it'll be me and Max on the Sixers. It'll be Hank on Hank Island on the Celtics.
It'll be Big Cat
riding or dying with.
Okay. Call Blake Island.
All right.
Yeah. And I'll just be, you know what? Actually, give me a combined total Blake Griffin, B-Ball Paul points. And if I don't reach it, I'll get a Soul Patch. So I'll be rooting hard for both of my guys.
Also, there should definitely be a reality show called Blake Island, which is just like MILF Island, except all the dudes are just chill bros named Blake.
Yeah.
I would watch the fuck out of that.
Watch the fuck out of that. Hank, did you have any thoughts on the Sixers' performance tonight? You were popping off a lot on the text chain.
No, it was a fucking absolute war, dude. Embiid looked like he was going to gas out at the end of that game, but that's the playoffs. You know, it's round one. They're probably expending all their energy, but they won the game. It was a good game by them. Well fought, hard fought battle. Harden and Embiid are both just, you know, clearly scumbag players that have no problem kicking people in the nuts. Draymond school of playing. That's a thing in today's day and age of the NBA, but they won, so that's all that matters.
Okay.
Max, I've never seen a person more angry in a ad read in my life, but that was like, look at these seats!
If you don't use game time, you're a fucking scumbag! All right.
He's right.
Yeah,
it gets to the point.
No, I enjoyed it. It was just that was my takeaway.
All right, Warriors kicked the shit out of the Kings, which I think a lot of people expected because it's just Warriors go home and they're too good to not have the pride. Like that was never going to be a sweep. That was never going to be something they didn't put up a fight. Now we go to Game 4 and see like if. This could just be one of those series where everyone wins at home and then we just see what happens in Game 7.
Or the Warriors just sweep from here on out.
Oh, you're feeling that?
Oh, I was feeling that once you and PFT, once it got past like 5 minutes of pro King stuff, I was like, this just means the Warriors aren't gonna lose another game. Like when you guys really were like getting devoted, I was like, this just screams Warriors in the next four.
You're a thief of joy, Hank. Let the people have a little bit of fun. All right. I don't think that we've ever said the word Sacramento on this podcast in the 7 year history of the show. And we're talking about it. We're having fun. We're enjoying it. Let people enjoy a fun thing.
They can. I hope they do.
Just trying to Grinch on everybody.
I hope. Yeah. I hope the Kings win. I hope the Kings win. I don't want to see the Warriors win.
Especially because the Warriors, like media mafia, came out in full. There was like multiple articles and people talking heads being like Sabonis was actually the aggressor in all of this, and you know Draymond did nothing wrong. So we're standing up for Kings fans. Light the beam, except for tonight.
Yeah,
because you got your ass kicked, and the Warriors looked really fucking good.
I almost wish that Draymond wasn't coming back until it was a road game, because he's going to come back. The crowd's going to cheer for him at home. It's going to be – they're going to give him, you know, all the roses when he gets out there. He's going to be in a friendly environment. I would much rather have him make his comeback on the road in that same hostile environment that he got kicked out of, where he was flipping off the fans. I want to see him make his return just in a scenario where he's like, yeah, the bad guy's back. The bad guy's back. And let him see go like full Draymond on people.
Yeah, and I also – I do love that Steve Kerr having Draymond's back the way he does, because Draymond – a coach could be like, yeah, we keep losing him for these big games. It sucks. But he says it exactly how I've always thought about Draymond, is like, he plays with an edge. That's why you win a lot of games. That's why you won four titles. Obviously, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson have a lot to do with it, and Kevin Durant. But Draymond's energy, you take the good with the bad. And like the way he plays, he will miss games because of these incidents, but he also plays right up on the line that helps you get that edge that has made you the most successful team in the last, you know, 7 years.
And if you're Steve Kerr and you say something like, I can't believe that Draymond would do this to us in a time where we really need him in the playoffs, then you're just telling on yourself for not understanding who you've been coaching for the last, like, whatever, 8-9 years, however long it's been.
All right, so the other game, looks like the Suns are going to win. They're up 9 right now. It's late. It's like almost 1 o'clock.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike. If you want to join Buns of Anarchy, wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Should we talk a little playoff hockey? Oh, and Kawhi, that I jinxed the fuck out of Kawhi when I was like, Kawhi's a perfect example of load management, and then he missed game 3 with a knee injury. So, yeah, you can blame me. I was going to say Clippers fans, but who? Frankie Muniz. You can blame me, Frankie Muniz. There you go.
Billy Crystal.
Hank, are you nervous?
Yeah, I'm actually very nervous.
Go on.
Bergeron is hurt. And he is like the classic guy that the season ends and they're like, Bergeron played with like a broken fibula and like 3 torn ACLs. So the fact that he's not playing games is very concerning. The dude who is helping me with my taxes is a big Bruins fan, and we were talking today. And he started telling me about all the line adjustments we should be doing. He's like, oh, you watching the Bruins? I was like, yeah, I'm worried about Bergeron. And then he started telling me about all of the line adjustments, who should go where, and where the player should go, and how we can fix this. So but he was worried too. And so now I'm even, but like, I don't know. It's a lot of pressure. You win the President's Cup. Everyone, I feel like, that wins the President's Cup, I don't know what the stats are, but for my personal feel, it doesn't feel like President's Cup's teams do well.
2013 Blackhawks were the last team to win the President's Cup and win the
stat confirmed.
Cup.
So it's a lot of pressure. You know, Whitney said they're the greatest team of all time. He also said before, like, the greatest third period team of all time. So when they're going to the third period tied and they get smoked 4-1, it's like, I'm worried. As someone that jumped on the bandwagon not too long ago and was expecting domination, I'm concerned with the lack of domination that I've seen.
As far as you can see, the Bruins are like a completely average team. They're 1-1.
it's always been Bergeron, so that's obviously a key. He's got to get back.
Okay. Let's see. The other Rangers won again. I when Patrick Kane got traded, I was like, I just want to see him play playoff hockey. And tonight was a night. I think he had two assists and a goal and was like vintage Showtime Patrick Kane. That was fun to watch. I mean, playoff hockey is just the best because it's just every series, like the best team of all time, Bruins, feel like they're going to be in a war with the Panthers. Like every series feels like this. Even the Avalanche were, you know, struggling. They went down 1-0 and they were struggling with the Kraken all the way till the end of the game. So there's nothing like it. Every team can win. It's crazy.
I think that with the Rangers Devils series, the two fan bases are very, very similar, and they're going to be people that are like, you don't know what you're talking about. These are the same people that refuse to admit that the reason why the Steelers Ravens rivalry is so strong, because they're basically the same people that root for different teams. They're just separated by a little bit of land, and they've got the same mentality. Rangers fans and Devils fans are they're cut from the same cloth. And I just love a good playoff rivalry that develops between teams that are close together geographically that absolutely hate the fuck out of each other. So I say winner of the series gets Staten Island, or probably the loser. Probably the loser of the series gets Staten Island. They have to have Staten Island.
I like it. They should just do the loser of the series gets tolls one way.
Yeah.
So like if you go if the Devils win, everyone going into New Jersey has to pay tolls. But you don't have to pay it if you're going New Jersey to Manhattan.
I like that a lot.
And then let's wrap up with, I guess not every team can win it. The Islanders. Islanders minute memes?
Yeah. NHL rigged. That was a tough ending. Guy just took a stick to the face, complained about it to the ref for 30 seconds, and then instead of getting back, they scored. So that sucked.
Is the playoffs not usually violent? Like, isn't that what the playoffs are all about?
Yeah, but we had Merles on. He said the refs normally hold the whistle. Mm-hmm. There's been a million penalties in these playoffs.
I love this podcast because we are true, authentic. Like, we just go through the games Max, like, yeah, NBA rigged. Memes, like, hey, what do you think? NHL rigged. Mm-hmm. It's like, if we're not going to sugarcoat it, we're not going to give you high level analysis or, you know, anything special. It's just like, yeah, my team lost, rigged.
I'm getting smoked in overtimes. That's really, I'm watching all these hockey games just praying for overtime, and we haven't sniffed one.
Oh,
this
shit.
Weekend, though.
So sorry.
The mark of a true fan is to complain that the game is rigged even though you win the game.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It was a win. It was a rig, but my guys are too good. We fought through the rigging.
You guys not only tonight beat the Nets, you also beat the entire NBA. You beat the NBA industrial complex.
Adam Silver was playing center for the Nets tonight.
Not to mention, if Joel Embiid gets a one-game suspension, I don't know what I'll do. I probably will do nothing, but I'll be really mad.
No, let's do something. What are we going to do?
I don't know. I can't think of that. But you can't give Harden the suspension and also give Embiid the suspension. Like that, you've already punished Embiid by giving Harden. Like, he can't get the one-game suspension. That's all. Like, that can't happen.
If they suspend Embiid, you have to go back for another game, find Ben Simmons, and give him the double birds, and he has to see you do it.
You have a chance, Max. Everything, like, Simmons will be there. Let's get you game time seats right behind him.
I already have my game time seats for Saturday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Game time. See that court? Get there. All right. We got a lot of the rest of the show coming up. We're going to have a ton of NFL draft stuff next week. Thank you, everyone, for your patience this week. Obviously, no guests today, but we do have Billy's quarterback bracket that I said it in the middle of it, but I'll say it right now because some of you might tune out, but you shouldn't, because this is like we're stress testing you guys. And if you can make it through the quarterback bracket, you are a true AWL, and takeies are coming up. So these are the moments. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think everyone else will thoroughly enjoy it. I don't know which angle you'll thoroughly enjoy it from, but There's enjoyment there, is what I'm trying to say. Wouldn't you say, PFT?
Just click the blog. Go to the blog.
I would agree. I would agree 100%.
No, shut up, Billy.
I loved every minute of it. I'm dumber for having listened to it, but at the same time, like it's wonderful. I appreciate your brain, Billy. We got to show some love to the Maple Leafs, though, huh?
Oh yeah,
Maple Leafs,
big comeback.
Maple Leafs dominated. Toronto's back. My Leafs just sticking it up the Lightning's ass. That was awesome to see. What's his face? Tavares had a hat trick. The Islanders need a guy like Tavares because their offense looks sluggish, and I just feel like they need an extra piece. Somebody like that cut from that same cloth would really do wonders for the Islanders team. He's showing up in the playoffs. We're doing it for Rob Ford. How about that? What would Rob Ford want more than anything? He would want a Leafs Stanley Cup. Let's do it. Yeah. And some crack.
I'll smoke
crack if the Leafs win the Stanley Cup. How about that?
I'll match.
Why'd I say that?
I'll double.
Okay.
Okay. What did you?
I'll take a hit of secondhand crack.
Yeah, I'll take the crack hit and I'll blow it in your mouth.
Yeah, I love it.
All right, let's kick it back to ourselves where we talk everything else.
Big Cat inhale. He sucks it in, does not inhale, and blows it into my face.
Yeah, and we're done. Done. We'll see how it goes. The Leafs aren't going to win the Stanley Cup, so it's not a problem we have to worry about. All right, we have a lot more show coming up. Let's take a quick break for an ad, and then let's get to the rest of it.
Hey, it's PFT here, talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, let's talk some other stuff and let's do Billy's QB bracket that we're all have been waiting for. PFT, I actually have something I have to tell you before we get into everything else. And only Hank knows this. I was thinking last night of things that we could do because we don't have a guest today because of the circumstances this week. So I was like, what could we do that could be different, that could maybe cheer up PFT? I'll give you a guess. I'm sure you can guess, but who I possibly reached out to join us.
No. Greeny.
No. Think I'm history of Pardon My Take.
Think the complete opposite of Greeny.
Yeah, think the history of Pardon My Take.
Mr. Portnoy.
Nope. He's way past bedtime. One more guess. Come on.
Rob Schneider.
No. Think like the history of Pardon My Take. Someone that if he popped up on here, you'd be like, what the hell?
Our great friend, Blake Griffin, who we support unconditionally to the end of the year.
I'll text him right now and see if he'll just hop on. No, the answer is Lenny Dykstra. So I DM'd Lenny Dykstra, and I was like, hey, man, we'd love to have you on today. You know, weird circumstances this week.
Been a minute.
Yeah, been a minute. Like, thought it would maybe cheer up PFT. Some random guy answered me via Lenny Dykstra's DMs and was like, Lenny's focusing on a milestone coming up, so he doesn't really want to do any other stuff. And I was like, that's cool.
18 months out of prison?
5 years out of prison is his milestone. Okay. I thought it was going to be sobriety, but 5 years out of prison. He's 34 days away, so congratulations to Lenny. I am actually proud of him. Hopefully when the milestone hits, maybe we can have him on.
Yeah, I mean, he's a diehard AWL, and I just want to say, Lenny, suck my dick.
Yes, suck all of our dicks. But yeah, I thought I was digging deep in the recesses of my brain, and it led me to begging Lenny Dykstra via DM to come on the show, and then talking to a random person who runs Lenny's account.
Yeah, I've actually talked to that guy before because the first time that we talked to him, I think he wanted money for Lenny to come on. He's like, you got to pay me,
yeah,
and then I'll pay Lenny, and then he'll come on the show. It's like, this sounds suspiciously like wire fraud.
Yes. I could text someone right now. I don't know. I don't. Blake Bortles definitely asleep, right?
Stingray Steve.
No, we're not having
Stingray Steve action. What time is it in Australia right now? Jake, can you look that up?
I believe it's 16 hours ahead, but I'll double check.
Okay, because I just got a very nice, thoughtful text from our good friend Brooks.
12:51 p.m. or 1:51, depending on...
Is he playing right now?
What time does he live to you? It's lunchtime.
Yeah, I think he's playing. He's coming back on. He definitely is coming back on. I talked to him right after the Masters. He's definitely coming back on. But
I'm just
going to
cast a line out there. I'm just going to say, you're around right now, or are you playing?
I just said Blake Bortles, are you up?
go smash golf club. Fuck the aces.
GC, yeah. Smash GC.
Yeah. Okay.
Dustin Johnson, GC, Dustin, right? I watched an interview. Dustin Johnson was like, love being at the Masters. Everyone was shouting out, go aces.
Yeah. It's true.
Aces are popping off.
I'm
gonna watch. I am more interested in Liv this weekend than ever before after the Masters.
Look at you, Hank.
Yeah, I like it. They're wearing all of us down. You just give the Liv Tour 3 years, and I predict that every young kid across America, it's gonna do for golf what Tiger Woods did for golf in 1998, 1999. It's gonna be a phenomenon.
Yes, yes. By the way, speaking of Tiger, so we'll talk some other stuff and then we'll do Billy's List, but I would like to take back a take. I saw Tiger Woods got ankle injury. I did a very Billy football thing and read up about this ankle injury, and by read up, I mean I read the replies where people were like, I'm a doctor and this is what happened, and it seems like the ankle injury means that he's never going to be able to golf at the level he was golfing at before the car crash ever again, because it was a quality of life surgery that like will decrease the pain greatly, but his ankle mobility will never be the same. So I'm going to retroactively take back. He will never win another major.
Well, one of the great things about this show is that when we're cooking on takes like this, we just let each other go and the facts be damned and people can correct us later. And when you were saying that, I was telling you, no, he's not going to be back. It's not going to happen. Cause I knew that he had an injury beforehand where, his screws that he has in his leg had actually broken through his skin and popped out.
Yeah. And I knew that too.
Not a doctor. But I'm just going to guess that you want your medically inserted screws to stay inside of your skin when you play.
But even after I just said that, it felt dirty, and it's like I'm actually already back to maybe he could win one more. Because he is Tiger Woods.
Well, the counterpoint – yeah, I was going to say the counterpoint is Tiger Woods.
Yeah. All right, so I'm actually going to stick with my – I'm going to erase my retroactive take and then stick with my original take that he could win one more.
I think we just need to send Tiger some, like, Marcus Luttrell clips and make Tiger get back into the zone where he thinks he's a Navy SEAL and be like, here's a list of Navy SEALs – that have powered through that exact same injury and gotten congressional medals of honor.
I don't even think we have to do that. We just need to update his like current Call of Duty on his PS5. Just make sure the updates are always, you know, he might have lapsed on a couple updates and be like, dude, it's the game's calling. We need you out there.
Yeah. We can convince him that, that golf has, there's a new release. And one of the patches they put in was ankle injuries aren't shit.
Yes. Yes. All right. So checkmark day came. Elon actually did it. Elon did like the Jim Valvano of like being perpetually online. It's like any day that you can blow up a rocket in the morning and then take away everyone's blue check mark in the afternoon is like a day worth lived. If you can laugh, you can cry, you can smile. Like he did it all today. He blew up a rocket, spun it as it was a positive thing, which I'm going to trust our guy Quiggs, who was a scientist and was like, these are good when they blow up because you can learn a lot from it. And then checkmark Armageddon happened and everyone has gotten their checkmark taken away except for the people who paid for it.
Well, I think this is actually another like 12-dimensional chess move by Elon Musk, because the rocket blew up in the morning. And where do people go to instantly see all the video clips of Elon's rocket blowing up? And where do people, every person who dunks on Elon for fucking something up is actually putting money into Elon's pocket by using Twitter. How about that? He's a genius. He might be the best to ever do it, as a matter of fact. Like, he fucks up on Twitter so much and pisses off so many different people. But guess what? Where are you going to voice your frustrations with Elon? Boom, on Twitter. He's a genius.
He is. And they also, I didn't know this. I guess this maybe is something they say in NASA, but the way they spun it, the exact terms were the Starship experienced a rapid unscheduled disassembly before stage separation. That's the coolest way to describe a rocket blowing up.
Yeah, rapid. What was it? Rapid.
Rapid unscheduled disassembly.
Hell yeah. That's basically the treatment for any Michael Bay film ever made.
Yes.
It rocks. All that means is explosions. There was a sick ass explosion. Some are saying that the rocket was too woke and we didn't have all these problems. Nobody complained about it when the Challenger had a mishap. And now all of a sudden these days it's cool to pile on a billionaire. And so they should label NASA's Twitter feed as being government funded. How about that?
Yeah, they actually – I did see one guy. I think it was some professor, some nerd. He was like, can we stop showing this rocket perpetually on loop blowing up? Some of us watched the Challenger live. It's like, dude, is that a serious tweet? Like you're talking about a rocket that blew up, what, 30, 40 years ago? 40 years ago?
It was a seminal moment.
It was. Tragedy.
The O-rings.
Does that mean you can't watch any movie with like explosions?
Yeah, I don't think that you can too soon something that happened in the Reagan administration.
it's fucking like it was insane.
No one was in the rocket today either, right?
No, no one was in the rocket.
It was an unmanned rocket. There was another way that they phrased it that said breaking news, Elon Musk successfully launched a rocket, the biggest rocket that he's ever done, into the lower stratosphere or whatever. And it just didn't finish the sentence about then what happened afterwards.
Well, there were a lot of rocket scientists floating around that were like, this actually is exactly what they wanted. They wanted to just prove that it could get off the ground. I guess, sure. I don't understand any of this stuff. I just know I see big thing blow up and I'm like, haha, they fucked up.
I'm a student of history, as you know, Big Cat, and the last time that we had a really successful space program, who was designing those rockets? Werner von Braun, former Nazis.
Nazis,
maybe Elon needs to get on the horn, call up some of the Proud Boys, get them working on the rocket ship program.
Yeah, well,
it's funny because I've made like six sarcastic points over the last like 4 minutes, and I keep looking down at Hank, and Hank keeps being like, he's making some good points.
Yeah,
dude, the Nazi thing, we talked about it a few months ago, but the Nazi thing is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Operation Paperclip. That's why there was a battle to see who could get to
Berlin
first, to see who could gobble up all the scientists.
Yeah, and a lot of the scientists just started walking east or west. West? Yeah, west.
Easy, Jerichoff.
Yeah, west. It doesn't make sense. That part, Hank, you can back me up. When you walk west in Europe, you are... that is west everywhere. All right, it's west. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I got it.
West is left. We just need to if you're walking to your left, that's west.
Yeah, and if you're going south, you're going downhill.
Yep,
that's a fact. Okay, so are you guys paying for your checkmark?
I'm
Billy. You already did.
Check it right now. Look at it right now.
Because you changed your name, but you paid for it. You're paying for. You're actually paying for Twitter Blue and don't have a check mark. You're the dumbest man alive.
Nope, that's the best part.
Are you undercover?
I get all the bonuses. I'm still unverified, and I get all of the interaction. So
that actually might be the spot. Billy might be a genius.
I mean, if it's what comes with it, Billy?
Billy, can you still tweet 8 minute videos?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe it is. So Billy just dropped all of his keys. He's a janitor at night. Jake, do you feel like you're being persecuted?
Those are all
now?
For cocaine. All
no, I have.
It's a lot of keys, dude.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Billy parties.
I have no shame in paying for it because I earned it. We have the slogan of flags fly forever. I earned my check mark a few years ago, so I'm not just going to let someone take away from it. Like, I grew up on Twitter hoping to have a blue check mark, and one day I got it. So, like, I'm keeping it.
I like, though, that Jake is unabashedly proud
of the
blue check mark. There's very few people out there that are like, yes, the blue check means a lot to me. As a journalist, I wanted the blue check, and once I got it, I felt like that was my I have arrived moment, and you can take it from my sticky, cold hands. So I think I'm personally not going to do it. I'm not going to pay for it unless I maybe pull a Billy type situation later. But I just the check mark honestly means nothing to me. I only liked it because I could see, because when we first got it, it was because you could see when new verified people followed you, and then we were using that to book guests on the podcast.
Sweet. So you did get it? You did ask for it?
No, when I got it, when they gave it to me, I was like, I'm going to keep it.
Oh, God.
Because the first time I got it, I got rid of it because I didn't ask for it. Second time I got it again, I'm like, wow, they really want me to. It was like what Elon's doing with LeBron right now, where Elon is forcing a blue check on LeBron James. That's what happened to me earlier. And then I was like, oh, I guess it is kind of useful to book guests. So for the good of the show, I had no choice.
Right, right. And you did get it. It was weird because you got it the week that Gaz sent out an email saying, whoever wants the blue check mark, email me back.
It was so crazy. Yeah.
It was wild. I think I'm going to wait to possibly buy it and just wait for, because I can already sense the jokes of like, who is this? Who am I talking to? And then also like the shaming of blue check marks, which I've taken part in. That's going to obviously switch eventually. Like it's a pendulum. It's just going to, I'm going to stay unverified until the pendulum like goes all the way the other way. And just be like, all right, fuck it. I'll just buy it so I can tweet long videos.
You should treat it like a Friday news dunk. Do it like during the NBA finals and no one will pay attention to it.
I like that, Jake. I like that.
I think I put the over under on Big Cat getting a blue check 2 weeks.
Under.
Okay.
2 weeks.
Under. What about you?
2 days.
You're taking the under, Hank?
Yeah.
What about you, PFT?
I'm not going to get it.
But you asked for it the first time.
I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to. I have no desire to pay $8 a month to have a blue check badge next to my name.
I would put PFT's like 2 months.
I think PFT's.
I believe him right now, but I also, that could change.
I think PFT's will be like if Gaz just emails everyone being like, hey, Barstool's going to pay for blue check marks, just email me back and we'll be good.
I don't think that's going to happen. I reserve the right to change my mind, but I don't think it's going
to
happen.
That's where I land. I'm going to wait and see. So I'm going to reserve my right to change my mind as well.
I literally do not care about the blue check. I would just like to be able to tweet long videos. And I think that there's a way that you can do that actually without having the blue check. So I'm going to try my hand at that. And if that works, then there's no need for the blue check.
Someone made the good point the other day, though. When was the last time that you ever watched a video longer than 1 minute on Twitter?
I made that point, yeah. No,
I know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, never, ever.
No, there's some times that I watch long videos on there.
What was the last video you watched that was longer than 2 minutes? 220.
Let me look at my traffic history, see when the last
time I watched it.
But that's the thing, you can't remember it.
Like, over 220.
No, Jake just talked over my answer, but it's I have it by the exact date here.
Interesting. No, I'm just saying, like, you would think you'd watch such a long video, you'd remember it, but I guess.
I watched the Government Controls the Weather videos. It was 9 minutes.
Perfect. Perfect.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, other things. Baseball, Max Scherzer got suspended for 10 games for illegal substances. He just lost it, loved it. I still love like the pat down and when they decide to do it and how random it seems. And it just, the Mets do feel a little cursed this year. Not going to say they're cursed, but they feel a little cursed.
So the real story behind Scherzer getting suspended is the umpire behind
it.
Because this dude, we've got America's new top cop in Major League Baseball, and he's got a fantasy fuckboy name. It's Phil Cuzzi, C-U-Z-Z-I. Phil Cuzzi is the umpire. He's ejected all three pitchers that have been caught with two sticky substances on his hand. So he might actually just have sticky hands. And whenever he goes up to a pitcher and touches them, he's like, whoa, there's definitely something on here. What is all this? This is all fakakta. So he's the guy that we got to keep our eye on. Don't fuck with Phil Cuzzi because he's definitely kind of deputize himself as like the sticky guy. He's the guy with, he'll find you. He'll find you. Don't try to fuck with him. He's like Kevin Costner on Untouchables.
Yeah, and we also had, I don't know if you saw this clip, PFT, but Madison Bumgarner just continues. I love that Madison Bumgarner, one, is still pitching, and two, he has taken the role, you know, that previously was like John Lackey, then Roger Clemens before him, of just starting pitcher that is perpetually upset at everyone and any type of showboating. He got mad at Wilson Contreras the other day for making a noise on a foul tip. He just stood there and started saying, fuck you, and then credit to Wilson Contreras, he then got walked, and he bat-flipped his walk right in Bumgarner's face. And if Bumgarner was allowed to kill a person on a baseball field, he would have done that right there.
I love it. All the best pitchers are complete and total psychos when it comes to that shit. And Madison Bumgarner, he's been an intense individual for a long time. And anytime we bring him up, I always have to remind people, if you don't know the story already, Madison Bumgarner, when he was, I think, in high school, he dated a girl who was also named Madison Bumgarner.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking weird. That's that's maybe the craziest thing that's ever happened in the history of the world.
He's a psycho. He's a true psycho. Remember that story? What was that story about him, like, cutting rabbits out of a, like,
a rattlesnake?
Yeah,
yeah.
Rattlesnake.
Him and his wife. Like him and his wife were riding ATVs somewhere. It sounds like an episode of Yellowstone. And they found, like, a rabbit being digested, and they pulled over, and he took out his knife, sliced it open, and pulled out baby rabbits that were still alive inside of the snake.
Total psycho. And then the last thing I have before we do Billy's QB bracket, I don't know if you saw this, PFT, but the bub off between Ryan Clark and Brady Quinn. So draft season, we're going to do a lot of draft stuff next week. We're going to do a draft preview. There's a report. Brady Quinn basically said that CJ Stroud, before his senior season, or before his last season, he wasn't a senior, no-showed the Manning Passing Academy. And that is apparently a character concern. Ryan Clark got very upset at it, and they decided to have it out on Twitter. I've never seen a bub off before. I'm just going to read to you real quick how the bub off went down. So Ryan Clark started, or Brady Quinn started with, "I'm hoping you did your homework on my comments about Stetson Bennett this year. Still waiting on your cell, bub." Ryan Clark replied, "Following me, and I'll send it now. Wait. Just followed you to send it." What?
Brady Quinn, out of he was the first one, and he bubbed Ryan Clark.
He bubbed him, and Ryan Clark replied, "Following me, and I'll send it now. Just followed you to send it, and I ain't your bub, bruh. So we should be real clear about our tones before we speak." Which Brady Quinn replied, "Followed, bruh. Let's get real serious over Twitter." So we went from bub to bruh. A grown man tweeting another grown man saying, "And I ain't your bub, bruh," is just, I mean, it's just beautiful. It's what draft season is about. Guys getting in fights about a quarterback, like CJ Stroud's going to go top five, and they're arguing about a character concern that's not really a character concern, that the guy didn't really say, but then the other guy's upset because he implied it, and we're here. And this is where we land, because eventually with the NFL draft, there's so many mock drafts, there's so much discussion about it, that we get so bored that we start saying, like, who didn't go to whose birthday party, and who didn't show up to this passing camp, and why should we then ding him, even though he's going to end up going where he goes anyway, and the guys who are actually making decisions don't give a fuck about the Manning Passing Academy.
Okay, so I'm on Team Ryan Clark in this situation, because you don't bub another grown man unless you're their bruh. That's the equation right there. You don't bub me unless you love me.
Well,
that's what I always say. That's my mantra. You can't bub Ryan Clark in this situation. It's funny, because at the end of the day, this argument that they're in, they're fighting over like 19, 20, 20, well, I guess in Stetson Bennett, like a 21 to 30 year old man that they're getting into an argument about, that they're not financially tied to whatsoever. There's no consequence. Nobody will remember who had what take about which quarterback in 5 weeks. It's
correct.
Just not going to happen. It might get dragged up if they ever play against each other in the playoffs, like 3 years from now. then that argument will get brought up and we'll see who is right about it. But nobody is going to give a shit about it. It's very funny how quickly things escalated in that situation. It sounds like they're going to take this offline. They have to post a screenshot. If they're going to be texting each other, they got to post the screenshots afterwards and let us know what's going on, if they've become bros or if they're still bubs.
It was – so the original bub from Brady Quinn was too much, because I agree. You can't just bub someone out of nowhere, out of left field. Like, you're just minding your own business. You get bubbed online. That's everyone's worst nightmare. Ryan Clark's bra, though, that wasn't like a bro. He didn't do bro. He did bruh. That was a disrespectful bruh. I count it as they need to hash this out on someone's podcast, like all real fights should be decided. All men, if you get in a fight with another man, invite them on your podcast, and that's how you squash that beef.
Yeah, and then they'll go on the podcast, and they'll just be like good friends.
Yeah, they'll be like, ha. And then everybody, at the end, they'll be like, all right, see you later, bub. And I'm like, ha ha, good one. Even though they're both still very mad.
It's like the meme of the two dogs that are barking at each other through the fence, and then they take the fence away, and then the dogs are just like, oh, okay, we're cool. The taking the fence away is going on somebody's podcast.
Yes, yes. I just, that's how, I mean, listen, if we could get Israel and Palestine to just get on each other's podcast, we could probably solve this whole thing.
Easily. Just
come on my podcast, bro. Yes.
One day.
Don't say bub. All right. Before we do Firefest, let's get to it, Billy.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
Billy, are you ready for the 2023 draft quarterback bracket?
Yep, 100%. So this year, the bracket's a little different. We got four guys, the top four. So I ranked the top 12 quarterbacks in the draft.
Wait,
and the top four get fives.
We got okay. I was just trying to follow that. We got four guys in the top four. That's an all-time record.
And they have byes.
They have byes in the bracket. But of the top 12. I think
you missed that part. Four have byes.
In the bracket.
All right, wait. So list all 1 through 12.
1 through 12. So we're going to start with 12. Malik Cunningham, Louisville.
Okay.
Then we got Jake Haner, Fresno State.
Yep. Very good quarterback.
Then we got Dorian Thompson-Robinson at 10. Then we got Clayton Toon from Houston.
Wait, where did DTR go to school?
UCLA.
Okay, got it. All right. I knew that. I just want to make sure you know that. I feel, because when you start saying schools and then you don't say a school, I'm like, what's going
Clayton
on?
Clayton Toon, Houston.
Okay.
my mouse is being annoying right now. Tanner McKee, Stanford.
Okay.
Then we got Stetson Bedden.
Shout out to the Stanford wrestling team, four-time national champs in a row.
I saved Stanford
me like 100 times.
Dynasty.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to them.
Okay.
Then we got Anthony Richardson.
He is what seed?
He's at 6. What
the Billy?
Part of this.
Get off the list.
Hold on. Time out. My favorite part about the bracket, because we've done this 3 years, I think, now, even though Billy has, I think, done this, like written it all out, it always feels like he's doing it in front of us.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know if we were recording when you said we're doing the bracket. He was like, You started dashing around.
Like, well, he starts scribbling as we're like, Billy, bracket time. And he's like, okay, all right.
My rankings is I include that they might end up in bad situations. I'm not ranking the best players coming out of college. No. This is like their performance in the NFL.
The funniest part of Billy's quarterback bracket by far is that he makes a list numbered 1 through 12 of the best quarterbacks. And he puts the best quarterback number one.
Yes.
And then he has a bracket of his best players that's already ranked as his best players.
Well, they go
and
head to head.
The worst player.
They got to go head to head.
They got to go head to head, PFT.
Worst players lose.
Yeah, no, they have to go head to head. You don't know. There could be an upset.
No, but there are upsets. Upsets.
Yeah.
I know. But I'm just saying, like, that if you look at it from what it truly is and how the seating committee works on this project, you've already made your list of the best quarterbacks. But no. This is why we love you, Billy.
Well, Who does Anthony Richardson match up against? That's all I need to know.
Hold on, Hank. Let's do this in order. Let's go through the order.
People forget Kenny Pickett won last year.
Yeah, upset.
People forget that. In an upset, and then he's like one of the best, most successful quarterbacks from that draft. People forget.
Yeah, it might be like the Warriors. The Warriors were psyched to get the Kings in the first round. Maybe Anthony Richardson gets a great matchup.
So, like, Anthony Richardson's five because he could go to a shitty situation and end up just getting tanked.
Okay, four.
So, four. Okay. Oh, wait, no, now we're at five. C.J. Stroud.
Okay, five is C.J. Stroud.
Ooh, okay.
Four, Hendon Hooker.
Okay.
Nice.
He's higher on my list. Three, Bryce Young.
Okay. Two, I can't wait to hear about your takes on Bryce Young's size, but keep going.
Two, Will Levis.
Okay.
And then one, which is my like wild card, like Sam Ehlinger, Trace McSorley, Chad Kelly, Max Duggan.
Okay.
So he's the guy that makes no sense in my mind, but he just gets a bye just because it's my bracket.
Okay.
Okay, but he is the one seed. Overall.
He's
the
one seed.
He's more of like a different kind of seeding. He's just there.
Okay.
Because in no one else's list is he in the top 12, so I just put him in my list because he's a game
number
winner.
One. Put him number one. You should.
Right. I like the
next
name
year.
Of
just
song.
Put a pin in this one. You should have a play-in game next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So Billy, tell us your criteria before you go through the matchups. How these rankings all work.
So the rankings are just like, because really good players will go to really bad teams and then their careers will just fizzle out. So players who are not as good coming out of college actually kind of get an advantage if they like weren't top four, but they're still good players in my mind.
Okay.
Okay.
Kenny Pickett was one of those guys.
So this is also kind of a mock draft too, because you're projecting where these quarterbacks are going to end up.
Kind of.
So, right. Okay.
Matchup number one, Clayton Tune versus Tanner McKee. So,
say Clayton the seedings Tune, too, so we just can keep track.
This is a ninth seed versus an eighth seed.
Okay.
So, Tanner McKee is actually the eighth seed. He's ranked above Clayton Tune. But
why do you have the nine seed playing against the eighth seed?
Because there's four guys get a bye.
Yeah, there's the buys. Don't forget the buys, PFT. You keep forgetting about the buys.
That still doesn't make any sense why nine seed would play against an eight seed in the first round.
If you check your text, yeah. I sent it to you.
He goes 5-12. He goes 6-11. He goes 7-10, 8-9.
Exactly.
It's the buys. Okay, you got to understand the buys.
So Tanner McKee is he's playing a pro style at Stanford. He's tall. He's prototypical. But the thing is, his hands are way too small for how big he is. He's got 9-inch hands, and he's a really big target, which is just a huge fumble risk. He may have not been seeing that at Stanford, but Clayton Tune is just a gunslinger, just like way more air raid. And, you know, Clayton Tune advances in that matchup.
Okay, wow. So that was an upset.
Yeah, big. Did you take into account the fact that that Tanner has a way better quarterback name?
Clayton Tune is a pretty good quarterback name. Like Clayton in general. Tanner McKee is a good one, but you know, those are kind of equal there.
And PFT, I would argue Tanner's a great college name, not a great NFL name.
Right.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. But it's such a good college name that usually, in my mind, I would draft that guy higher.
Is that your hedgehog, Billy?
Yes. One second.
We're going to take a pause. This is a quick commercial break for Billy's hedgehog.
By the way, that was so Stanford earlier men's Billy gymnastics was like, tank.
Earlier when Billy was
he's
like,
nocturnal.
I'm sorry, my mouse is driving me crazy. I actually thought that he meant his rodent, but no, he was talking about his
computer. No, I mean, only Billy could you hear that noise and be like, oh, that must be his hedgehog. Okay.
Drinking water. Matchup number two, C.J. Stroud versus Malik Cunningham. This one is just... You know, this is a first round 5 versus a 12. C.J. Stroud easily takes this. Like Malik Cunningham will never get out of Lamar Jackson's shadow. So like comparing him out to anything, like, you know, he's just not going to make it. He's too small. He is quick, but he's just not going to translate. So C.J. Stroud easily wins that.
There's some Malik fatigue from last year, given how Malik played for down the stretch for the Titans.
Okay.
Jake Haner versus Anthony Richardson, another blowout. Anthony Richardson takes it. Jake Haner, very good quarterback, beat UCLA, but still a poor man's Derek Carr. Matchup number four.
They
Max
did go to
Duggan.
The same school.
They did. But, you know, I didn't want to just say that Malik Cunningham was a poor man's Lamar Jackson without saying Jake Haner is also a poor man's Derek Carr.
No, yeah, don't even try to call Billy there. Racist.
Yeah, mm-hmm. can't get me on that. Stetson Bennett. Did
also compare two black guys and two. Never mind.
Okay. Stetson Bennett versus Dorian Thompson-Robinson. DTR, you know, electric player, but Stetson Bennett is just going to take this one. He played better competition, won more national championships, been in bigger moments. So easy win for Stetson Bennett. So now,
he's a gamer.
Billy, you would, I don't know how much DTR you watched. He is electric. He is,
he's so
quintessential, like, he will do some fuck shit and then he'll throw like a terrible interception, but then he'll go back and he'll just like rip your defense to shreds and has crazy confidence.
Fun fact, he's thrown the fastest ball at the combine since Josh Allen, 62 miles per hour.
Whoa.
Forgot to mention that. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, think about that. And he's like so much smaller, but he can rip it just as fast as Josh Allen.
Okay. But he lost to Stetson Bennett.
Yeah. But, you know, there's some decision making choices. You know, he throws it fast, but.
He's. That sounds
disrespectful
like code
to police
talk,
officer.
Maybe.
No,
that sounds
no,
like some
no,
code
no,
talk.
No, 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 no. We'll get into it later.
Stetson Bennett's a smarter DTR. Quarterback.
No, no, no. He's older. He's very wise. Stetson Bennett is wiser because he's so old. Because he's old. He's old. It's because he's old. DTR also is totally electric. He jumps over dudes all the time.
I think DTR is pretty old too.
Stetson Bennett is definitely like 50 years older than him. Okay, matchup number
DTR is 23 years old.
Yeah. So matchup number five. Well, I mean, Stetson Bennett's like 27, right? So
I think he's 25.
Now we're advancing to the next round. Max Duggan versus Clayton Tune. You know, Clayton Tune is a great air raid guy, but Max Duggan is just a competitor, and he's way faster. Like, Max Duggan ran a 4.52, like, in the combine. Did anyone expect that? Like, he's that much of an athlete, and he's a winner.
Why did you not expect that?
Because he's a ginger. So Max,
good answer.
Not that fast. They get too angry and caught up in themselves.
Yeah. Max, he's got soulless speed.
Yeah.
So Max Duggan advances. Clayton Tune, I mean, the thing is, Clayton Tune's competition, you just see him throwing touchdowns to just wide open guys. And, you know, Max Duggan just pulled it off better and honestly made some throws in tighter situations. So this is where it gets interesting. Matchup number six, CJ Stroud.
I hope people listening at home, I apologize because I'm just as lost as you.
Just look at the blog. You'll see it. It makes a lot more sense.
Okay.
CJ Stroud versus Hendon Hooker. CJ Stroud is a very good QB. Very, very good. The only thing is that I got against him is that he's an Ohio State quarterback. And how many really great Ohio State quarterbacks we've seen coming out that just haven't really panned out?
Don't like this.
Can you
Billy.
Name them?
They haven't.
Well, no. Can
I
you
can
name them?
Actually.
Okay. Who?
Yeah. Dwayne Haskins, RIP. Cardale Jones.
Okay.
Damn.
JT Barrett.
Little word of advice. You don't lead with Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah. Billy,
you say three other names.
Justin
Fields. You say three other names, and you go, and obviously, like, rest in peace. We never fully got to see, unfortunately, but Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
Also, we should investigate his death because that's another thing.
All right.
Okay.
Justin Fields.
What about Justin Fields? Would you right now take Justin Fields over Zach Wilson? Oh, my God. The pause says it all.
You're insane.
Injury. I mean, in the world of Lamar Jackson, I mean – He's injury prone. I said it.
Okay.
Like in this
Lamar
world,
Jackson
like
weighs
in,
about
like
80
the best
pounds
of it.
Less.
I know, but who still got hurt?
But Zach Wilson is bad. If you turned injuries off for Zach Wilson, he still would be the worst.
Right, but I mean, yes, over Zach Wilson, but I'm just still my take on availability.
Can I just
Zach
pause
Wilson
for a second?
Zach Wilson is also injury prone.
He's mentally injured.
Billy, can I just pause for a second and ask you a quick question?
It's just
how many how many Division I college football games have you attended in your life? Wasn't it one this year?
No, I've been to five.
Okay, all right. So, but you that this year you went to what game?
This year I went to Tennessee, Florida.
Okay, all right. I just want to. That's just. I want to see where the rankings go. But I just put a pin in
watch,
that.
I watch a lot of college football.
Yeah.
On TV.
Okay.
Now you got me all messed up. Okay, CJ Stroud.
This is going so smoothly.
Yeah, so Hendon Hooker wins just because. Hendon,
I'm just asking a simple question that might be allude to Hendon someone Hooker, that Billy saw live win this because that was
well. Okay, no, keep going. It goes a little deeper than that because Hendon Hooker used to come on macrodosing every week.
Just wait till the end of the bracket. Keep going. Hendon Hooker beat CJ Stroud because I think that the ACL is going to drop Hendon Hooker into a way better situation. Like, what if he ends up on the Patriots just because of the ACL and has a way better situation than CJ Stroud going into some like Atlanta Falcons?
I don't think Robert Kraft would have any interest in another hooker.
It wasn't a hooker.
Sure, that's wrong.
Masseuse.
In the same vein, I think Hendon Hooker is a less problematic Deshaun Watson in his play style. Next matchup.
Yeah.
Bryce.
Way less problematic.
Next matchup. Okay. Bryce Young versus Anthony Richardson. Okay. I get the Bryce Young hype. I get it. You know, he plays really well. He's played him out a lot of ways. But the thing is, Anthony Richardson is everything Bryce Young isn't. But the thing is, you can teach Anthony Richardson to get better decision making, you know, put him in the right offense, but you can't put 30 pounds on Bryce Young. It's not going to work. It's not like he has a frame to work with. It's not like he's a beanstalk. The kid just couldn't physically put on 30 pounds without sacrificing serious mobility and making him look like a bodybuilder. Yeah.
I like that, Billy. You've gone from being just a respect mass guy to being respect frame guy. We're frame guys now.
If you look at his frame, he's slender at the hips and slender at the shoulders. Like a guy like Arizona Cardinals.
Kyler Murray,
he's like a big frame guy. Like he can put like Russell Wilson, big frame guy. You can put the weight
fat
on
ass.
There. Yeah. Like Bryce Young, he's not that thick. Because of that, like he's going to be more injury prone.
You think Kyler Murray's a frame
Anthony
guy?
Anthony Richardson's just a beast.
I don't think Kyler Murray's a frame. Kyler
Murray's thick.
He is thick.
I won't tell
stout.
You
he's stout.
Drew Brees is kind of was thick too.
Yeah.
Sneaky,
Billy's not wrong. See, Bryce Young's body.
But the thing is, Drew Brees wouldn't be running like his play style is way different than Bryce Young. Bryce Young's going to be running around.
Bryce Young's body type is an anomaly. It's not. It has not really. You don't really see it in the NFL at the quarterback position. Because I would agree, Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson have just more meat to them.
Yeah.
Although I disagree with the Kyler Murray comparison, I do think
it's not a comparison. Young, they're totally different.
I wouldn't say that Kyler Murray's got a great frame, but I will say that Bryce Young. There are some glaring frame issues with him. I agree.
My frame coming out of high school was better than him coming out of college. Mm-hmm. That's like a fact.
Yeah. Yeah, you're both different.
Anthony Richardson's just totally different. And not only is he a like amazing athlete, but you can tell he like goes through his progressions and is actually extremely cerebral at the position. Out of like a lot of these athletic quarterbacks, he's extremely cerebral in breaking it down, especially downfield and especially facing cover zero, which I've kind of been obsessed with since talking to Chad Kelly and seeing some like him go up against cover zero. He picks up blitzes better than most in this draft class.
I've seen scouts call him once in a generation talent.
Yeah.
I think that was Hank. That was Hank that said that as a scout.
Okay, keep going.
Matchup number 8. This is a big one. Stetson Bennett versus Will Levis. Now this
are
is
we
where
in the final four? I don't know where we are.
We are in the final four.
This is the 2-7.
No, this is it. This is the last quarter final.
It'll make more sense for the listeners.
The
this is a 2 seed versus a 7 seed.
The best part about this is listen, we obviously there's been a tough week for PFT, and you know it's like we don't have a guest on this week, and we basically are just like stress testing the AWLs, being like, you guys said like give PFT as much time as possible, and like we're here for you. Well, how about we do Billy's quarterback bracket for 20 minutes and wait, really see if you like this podcast?
I'm putting the team on my back right now. Stetson yeah. Bennett versus Will Levis. Stetson no. Bennett, I didn't like, so I've been reviewing his body cam footage of his arrest, and the only thing I didn't like about it was how he bitched about when they put his handcuffs on. He just kept, the first thing he did was complain about how painful the handcuffs were, and I'm like, look, man, like, pain is temporary. If you get banged up in the game and you start complaining, like, get your mentals, like, broken. He's already on, like, you know, chemicals that are supposed to dull pain. That's a big red flag for me. If he's got a low pain tolerance, that's one thing. And look, Stetson Bennett has only lost one game in his career. Will Levis has lost seven. You learn way more from losses. And I think if you're in a situation like Georgia, Stetson Bennett is very replaceable with other guys who could have done the same, if not better than him in that perfect scenario. I think, you know, if you put Will Levis in a better scenario, we saw that he sat out the bowl game and his team just got shelled. I mean, if you took Stetson Bennett out of a Georgia game, I don't think the backup would do that much worse. Georgia's still going to win in all those scenarios. But
what about the counter-argument that Will Levis choosing to sit out the bowl game, doing some load management at that point, a real gamer would have wanted to be out there with his guys?
I mean, he was banged up, and he played through a pretty brutal season with those guys. He's like one of the few, I understand, like get to the draft. And we're going to get to the two jacked, you know, there's a lot of what ifs with Will Levis. We're going to get into it.
For the record, I do agree with that. I do have Will Levis ahead of Stetson Bennett on my big board.
I do as well. Yeah. I concur, doctor.
Matchup number 9, Max Duggan versus Hendon Hooker. This is a blowout.
Semifinals.
Thank you, Jake.
thank you. That actually makes much better sense for me, too. Max Duggan versus Hendon Hooker. You know,
you're looking at it.
Well, I'm looking at my notes.
Your bracket, Bill.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like you're not. I feel like you don't actually have it written out as a bracket.
No, oh my God, I don't.
I'm staring at the blog.
I'm looking at all my notes.
But is there a physical bracket in it?
Yes.
I'm looking at the notes.
That's in the group chat.
I sent it in the group chat.
I didn't want to look because I want to be surprised with who wins.
I'm just gonna say if you're an AWL and you don't like this segment, fuck off. This is
what if
this
I
is
don't
Billy
like
at his finest right now.
You told me to do this.
I know.
I was just gonna post the blog.
You're doing well. Keep it up.
Okay. Let's go. Max Duggan, he's a game winner, but unfortunately this is the end of the road for him. Hendon Hooker totally beats him. Max could end up being the next Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think that's like, you know, his not ceiling, but a very realistic, positive outlook for Max Duggan. Okay. Hendon Hooker advances. Matchup number 10. This is where it gets weird. Will Levis versus Anthony Richardson. So this is my problem.
This is where it gets weird.
So Will Levis and Anthony Richardson both hit the ceiling while at their pro days.
Yep.
Will Levis did it. Everyone shat on him for it. Anthony Richardson did it and said that he hit the roof on purpose because Will Levis did it. Mm-hmm. This is my red flag. I want my quarterback to be a leader, not a follower.
Oh.
Like he was copying someone else. He was like following the lead. Just me. I want my quarterback to set the tone. Will Levis set the tone of another man's pro day. I'm just saying.
I like that.
Okay. I'm just saying.
I like that.
Even though a real person would just been like, fuck that. There's no fucking low ceilings in an NFL stadium or dome. And if I put arc on the ball, like sometimes it's essential to put arc on the ball. And actually one thing about Will Levis is that he throws receivers open using arc and using touch in a way that like the biggest comparison I could say is Brett Favre. It's like he's throwing it like a guy who's like seen those situations like 1,000 times. And
how is him getting jacked going to affect that though? Is he going to lose the touch because he got too big?
Well, the thing was, I did some research. He was jacked before this. He knew he could get that jacked. Yeah, he knew he could get that jacked, and he was injured and had to like stay off some stuff, and he just got jacked again. He was doing this all while he was jacked. But I think that weirdness, that mayo in the coffee, that eating a full banana, that weirdness and, you know, being way too jacked. We saw the quotes. you know, like a lot of NFL GMs and coaches don't want their quarterback to be jacked. John Gruden quoted it about Brady Quinn. And so I think that's actually going to make him drop into a better situation. Like, he just had a meeting with the Patriots. Will Levis with the Patriots, I think, would be much better than Mac Jones, much better than Bailey Zappi. So he could end up having a better career than AR-15 because he's in a better situation.
And he's a friend of the show.
Right. Now we're in the final matchup.
So
now,
Hendon Hooker.
Real quick.
Yeah.
I'm curious, Billy, when you said he's been injured, so he's had to stay off some of the stuff, and now he's back, what does that mean?
Like, stay off the weights.
Got it.
Yeah.
He is a friend of the show. He's probably listening to this right now, so congratulations, Will. You are a finalist, and the finalists are Will Levis and Hendon Hooker. Now, Billy, can I ask you a question? Have you met either of these two gentlemen?
I've met both of them.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. have you met anyone else in the bracket?
Max Duggan.
Okay. Yep. Who was the one seed?
Well, he you know, he was, you know, in my
Stetson Bennett came on the show.
Yeah, but met in person.
I didn't meet him.
Yeah.
So this is where I think we can really get a real criticism of Will Levis. Will Levis was on One Question of the Quarterback. I think he came vastly underprepared for that segment. I think his one question was low-hanging fruit. I think he could have made a better question, and there's a touchdown open for him, and he took the check down by asking who would get kicked off of Pardon My Take if you had to pick someone. And so I think...
Now, you didn't like the question or the answer?
He's
actually right. That is like...
It's a low, like, he could have prepared a great question, but he just got in there and he just took the low hanging fruit. And
picked
so
on one person.
Think about that. Yeah.
Who's doing the bracket?
Yes, who's doing this? So, I mean, you know, these are things bracket. You got to consider. Also, I asked him what he was going to do with his time while he's in New York. He said Carbone, going to Carbone. And that's just like the you know, high class equivalent of Michael Scott saying Sbarro's the best pizza in New York. So I have a little judgment issues.
Wait. Carbone is really good though.
Is it a chain?
If you don't know good New York City Italian food and do your research, I'm just saying Carbone is like the Sbarro for people who.
Would you have sent him?
I would have sent him to Arturo's, which is actually two blocks away from Carbone, which I told him, which actually has way better home style Italian food and without all the BS. So just two judgment things that I'm just putting up there. I mean, look. It might not matter to a lot of people, but those are the things I judge people on. And then Hendon Hooker wins.
Okay. Now, what would you say, just a little post-game, you know, the media gets in front of you and says, Billy, we read your bracket. There's a report out there that the only college football game you went to this year was a game Hendon Hooker played in at Tennessee. Some are saying that's the only game you watched, and that's why he's number one.
That is wrong. I watched a lot of games.
Okay. All right. That's good. Question from the media.
Billy
grades on tape.
I grade on tape.
From your seats, what were you going to say?
From my seats, it was probably actually better if I watched it on TV.
Well, you had the all-22.
Yeah.
They're great seats. Shout out Game Time.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Okay. All right. Well, Billy, that was great.
No, but seriously, I think Hendon Hooker has the best combination of falling to a bad spot and having good enough talent to, like, make it in the long run. Also, Will Levis. I'm just busting his balls with all that stuff the last part. He'd get it.
I mean, you can't say that after. I mean, you got to keep the ball busting going. Okay. All right. Well, great job, Billy. Another great QB bracket. I don't know why ESPN pays these experts when we have Billy, and he whipped that up as we were doing it.
Just to check it out on the blog, it'll make a lot more sense. And I have like a couple of like cool stuff about each quarterback that I couldn't include.
Okay. Awesome.
Arrest Can't footage, funny moments. It's full breakdown. Check it out.
All right. Okay. Also, you left out Hendon Hooker's got gigantic hands.
Yes.
They're like the 10 and a half inch hands, right?
Billy's the biggest hands.
What was that move, Billy? What were you just doing there? Now we have an echo.
My mic unplugged.
We had just enough time. All right. Billy's muted. All right. Let's take, we'll do our last ad and then we'll do Firefest on the other side.
No joke, I think I might have a Cane's sauce problem. I was at Raising Cane's the other day getting my box combo with extra sauce on the side like usual. I have an order. When I eat my Cane's, it goes crinkle cut fries, chicken fingers, the Texas toast, and finish strong with the slaw. So I start eating, and before I know it, I'm scraping the bottom of my sauce, and I wasn't even done with my fries yet. This habit is escalating, and I'm 100% here for it. Dip into Cane's. Get extra sauce for me, please.
Okay, Firefest of the Week. Hank, would you like to start?
Sure. I have a couple.
Okay.
First one, what was it? Must have been Monday night. There was two overtime games, Oilers and Kings. It was 3-2. And I just got New Jersey cable. I have cable. New Jersey just did an emergency program test run. And it was like, we're doing an emergency test run. Like, it's going to, cable's going to be off for the next like 2 hours. And then the Kings scored, tied it. I had the Oilers, and then they lost.
That's tough.
I actually, because you tweeted, you're like, this game went to overtime?
I was so mad. It was one of those things where it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was just walking around my house furious. Like, what is going on? How do I even, I had to pull it up on my phone, and then it was behind, and I couldn't believe it was happening. But I was also
I saw it.
It makes sense why they're just doing the test. It was 1 o'clock in the morning, but.
Yeah, I saw you going through that, Hank, and my question when that happened was, because you made me think about it, I don't think I've ever seen the emergency broadcast system used for anything except for a test.
No.
Maybe they use it on 9/11, maybe. And that, but besides that, I've never heard the actual emergency broadcast ever.
Did you guys see?
No.
Did you guys see that the whole state of Florida had an Amber Alert at 4:30 in the morning?
4:45, it woke up the entire state.
Why? Drive me insane.
It was accidental. It was supposed to be on TV. They sent it to phones.
Must be like reset your alarm week in all the states.
That's like when they sent out that nuclear missile inbound thing to the entire state of Hawaii.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right before, I think that was right real. I think that was real, and they stopped the missile before it hit. That's just my take.
I think it was Matt Patricia, the rocket scientist, trying to psych Marcus Mariota out the night before their playoff game against each other.
Matt Patricia, now an Eagle,
new Eagles coach. I just unmiked to say that.
Yeah,
you guys look a little bit alike, Max.
Yeah,
good looking guy.
Yeah, you got during Eagles games this year. You got to rock a backwards hat and a pencil for sure.
Sure, fine.
And then my other Firefest, I was playing PGA with Rudy the other night, and we made a bet, and I lost, and I have to watch the entire Bruins game on mute tonight. So I'll be live on the PMT Twitch just watching the game in silence. I'm probably not going to promote it if you're listening to this. Tune in. I'm not going to say anything, so...
Nobody show up in the chat and start giving Hank numbers.
Yeah, now people are just going to yell, have you got the lottery ball? Have you got the lottery ball? Have you got the
lottery ball? Oh, I saw your golf balls, Hank. Those are sick.
Yeah. Shout out to TaylorMade. They sent me a lottery ball, custom golf balls.
That's sick.
It's cool.
Okay, PFT?
I had a pretty clean week, actually. So I don't know. Don't really have anything to complain about right now. The only thing I have is actually I'm going through some hotel situations, which is just adding to the list of stuff that you have to take care of when you're in the scenario that I'm in right now. So I'm staying at a hotel. I don't know if I should name them or not. It's Hilton. And I reserved a room for a couple nights because I didn't know how long I was going to be down here. Quickly found out I was going to need to be down here for a while. So I tried to extend my stay by 2 nights in the same room. I did that over the phone, and they ended up giving me an extension through, I want to say, May 3rd, which is much more than 2 nights. And so then I was like, wait, no, that's not what I asked for at all. Please reverse the charge immediately on that. And then they said, okay, we've got you all squared away. We got 2 more nights for you. And then they sent me the confirmation through my email. And they booked me 2 more nights at a completely different hotel in a completely different town that was also a Hilton. And so then I asked them to reverse that, was put on hold for about 42 minutes because the person just freaked out because they're like, I've really fucked up this scenario big time. And then somebody else got on the phone, fixed my reservation, got me in the right room. but I have still yet to have the other confirmation canceled. So right now, because they put the all the holds on your cards, I'm out approximately like, I don't know, $2,300 that will be reversed onto my card soon because of errors and somebody putting in the wrong information to a computer. So I'm waiting to hear back from them and see what's going to happen on that one. But that's been a headache that I probably could have done without this week.
Please let me know if you need me to skull fuck.
No skull fucking yet. No, just maybe some skull grinding for a little bit. Yeah. Some skull dry humping. No penetration necessary. But on a serious note, thank you guys to everybody out there that's reached out. It's actually meant a lot, so I appreciate that.
Okay, my Firefest is so my wife's out of town this week, so I've been solo with the kids. It's kind of like when Dwight got fired from the office and all the plants died. And you just quickly realize, like, oh, shit, there's, like, a lot of things that I didn't realize go on here. But one thing that has been interesting is I'm obviously, you know, cooking dinner. We've had hot dogs three nights in a row. And my kids have had, like, maybe a bite of a hot dog every single night. So I've eaten 10 hot dogs in the last 3 days. I realized that tonight as I was downing another couple hot dogs. And I was like, I just keep cooking 3 to 4 hot dogs a night, and then they have a bite, and then I finish their hot dog. And yeah, that dawned on me as I was cleaning up after dinner. I was like, damn, you've eaten a lot of hot dogs this week. So maybe next time I'll figure out maybe some mac and cheese or something that I can cook. But yeah, it's been eye-opening with, you know, it's something. It's something.
You know what you're going to want to put in that mac and cheese, though? Couple hot dogs. Yeah, slice it up. Yeah,
I also have a situation where I think my son already has more Riz than me. Shout out Jeff Nadeau, he has the most Riz in the world. But last night, or yes, time has just escaped me this week, but yesterday, come home, eating dinner, snacks. My son's like, I want a clementine, peel him a clementine, eats every single piece except one. I think he took one piece with him to his bedroom at night because I come down, I get him out of bed and we come down, he's holding a piece of clementine in his hand. And I'm like, hey dude, like, why don't we eat this or throw it out? You've been holding it for a while now. And he's like, no. He holds it all the way. We walk to school. He's holding it like it's like the, like a gold bar, holding it all the way to school. We get to school, walk him to his class. Walks up to his teacher, shows his teacher, and then just eats it in front of her. And she was very impressed. And I was like, I don't know what just fucking happened here. So, yeah, I think he's got more Riz than me already.
I thought you were going to say he was going to like give it to his teacher and no. Be like, here, I brought you a present, which would have been medium Riz.
Yeah.
But to show her and be like, I bet you want this. He just negged her.
Yes.
Your son is going to, he's going to become a pickup artist. Yeah, he's going to be the new mystery.
And she gave the reaction that he was looking for. She's like, oh, what's that? He's like, clementine or he says orange. And then he ate it and she's like, wow, that was it. Yeah. He fucking, the crowd went wild. So yeah. I think I'm out-rizzed by my son already.
He's definitely going to become a pickup. He's going to come home with like a top hat and like goggles around his neck. He's going to be picking up chicks left and right.
Get addicted to Latinas in Lancaster, PA. That means I did a good job as a father.
I don't know what that means.
Nadeau. That's a Nadeau. Our colleague, Jeff Nadeau, I think he tweeted the other day, like, hey, I'm addicted to Latinas and I don't care who knows it. So now we know it. Now we all know it.
You know what's wild about Lancaster, PA? My buddy works there. He's like, there's no one there, and he has no idea where Nadeau's finding these people.
Sounds like your buddy's a loser.
Good point.
No offense. All right, Billy.
I got fat.
Nice.
Belly football.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah. Belly football. Couldn't work out for 2 weeks. Put on a lot of pounds, and it's hard to stop being fat. Eating a bunch.
Yeah. Yeah, but you got the frame for it, though.
Max, don't nod that furiously. No, trying people, to hide it a little.
I know you guys have been nice and haven't been saying anything, but I know I put on a lot of weight recently.
All I was saying is that it's hard to not be fat.
Yeah, no, it is very hard. It's a daily struggle to not be fat.
That's what I was agreeing with.
Been eating hot dogs nonstop. I understand. Billy, how did basketball go last night?
Good. We killed it.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Hank, what are you? Hank hit some threes. Hank, He's muted.
He's muted.
Me and Billy both played well. I would say it was both of our best performances.
Hell yes. Yeah.
One by Hell six, yes. held Let's them go, off. Boys. Billy was beasting on the boards, putting up. I hit a couple threes. It was great.
Yeah. Let's
playoff bound.
Hell yes. I might come to the playoff game. I love to hear it.
Next week's our season.
What was that fucking head shake, Max?
Oh, you're muted again. You're double muted.
We're in the mute off.
There's no way that Big Cat would go to Hoboken for your playoff game.
Big Cat loves ball.
But it was nice that I said it.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the most... saw their reaction. It's about the reaction. When I say, like, hey, I might come to a game, Billy and Hank both were like, fuck yeah. That's all I was looking for.
I didn't want them to have that satisfaction.
Yeah, no. I got the moment. You can't steal that from me.
I'm in the stands looking every game.
Yeah, where's Big Cat? He said he was going to come to the game. I'm going to come with a huge...
Hank's left a ticket for Big Cat before every single game that they've had this year.
We keep looking at the stands.
I'm going to come with two huge like high school football pins for both Billy and Hank. Just clapping along, maybe try to get in a fight. Okay, Jake, what's your fire fest?
I have an ingrown toenail that's infected.
Oh,
and I'm on antibiotics.
Me too.
Gross. Really?
Oh my God.
No, shit. Which toe?
My left big toe. I'm getting it taken out tomorrow.
My right big toe.
I've had an issue with this toe for a couple of months though.
Have you guys just don't get to the point where you just get a kitchen knife and just have at it?
No, that would probably make it worse. I went to see the MD and they put me on antibiotic.
Oh, I got a foot doctor. I'll give you my guy.
Billy's right. Every man at some point in their life has performed like minor surgery on themselves, and you're not a man until you do that. Until you cut into yourself without
cut off a
you take
wart
a shot
or
of
something.
Whiskey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just put your foot over the toilet and you just fucking go to town. Yeah.
I've just been told I'm in danger of losing my toe if I don't get it taken care of. So that scared me.
they gave me that whole song and dance at the City MD too. That's why I had to go get a foot doctor. That's why I had to go to a foot doctor.
No, you get a steak knife and just turn it into a giant cut, and then you just keep disinfecting the cut.
That sounds awful.
Billy's right.
I mean, I get results.
I think
how long have you guys been dealing with this?
I'd rather lose my toe.
I've been dealing with it for literally like 6 months. I've had this procedure done to my toe 5 times, and I'm doing it again tomorrow.
Get a steak knife and basically cut off all the infected dead skin and shit, and then just pour alcohol on it and just do that every day with bacitracin.
Hell yeah.
Okay. So, that is the show. We have, big draft stuff coming next week. Obviously NFL draft, very excited. We think we'll be back in person. I did something special. So Jake, PFT, Memes, and Billy don't know this. I did all the ads in studio earlier. Max and Hank were there. We did the lottery ball. They guessed. We said we're not going to tell them, so you guys get a full guess, and then we will tell you what the number is. And we can play the video for you after as well so you can see it. So it is an official lottery ball. Numbers for you guys.
18.
69.
I'm going to go with 46.
Memes?
He said 21.
21. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Obviously, we've had a little bit of different schedule this week with PFT's father passing away. So you just listened to the whole show on Riverside, on us doing Zoom. PFT, Jake, and Billy are not with us right now, so they don't know that we're going to do this. So we all three of us have to keep the result of this lottery ball completely separate. Do not tell them. And then we will play it for them at the end. So they're going to get to guess as well. Okay. So numbers for the three of us and double numbers do count. So if someone guesses, someone can double up. Actually, no, we'll just tell them our numbers.
59.
Is this something new? Wait, have you ever gotten this?
No.
Can I just say as an aside, I love the little Hank stands out there that are like, when are we going to start talking about the fact that Big Cat's only got it once?
And I just reply to all of them. I'm just like, ask me if I've ever gotten the lottery ball. And they're like, have you ever gotten it? I'm going to say yes. That's all I have to say. Yes, I have.
Congrats.
I've gotten it.
I'm happy for you.
59.
Once. Yeah, 59.
How many have you got? Zero. Oh, okay. That's interesting. This is you're just doing the max no-hitter thing. Max.
That's a shot. That was an unnecessary shot.
How many
shot.
Hits did the Phillies get in Game 3 of the World Series?
My number is 20.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? I'll go 17. 59. You were very confident with that.
This is my number.
Okay.
My dad turned 59. It's you know, it's been an emotional week.
Okay. The number is 99. Oh, another JJ Watt one.
No!
It happened again. You're such a fucking idiot. He literally tweeted you last week. God damn. And, like, let's be honest. Let's just break it down the other way. You just basically were like, 59. I'm flexing on PFT that my dad's still alive.
Yeah,
that's what you just did. That's literally what you just did.
No, I did not. That's I'm not going to be online this weekend.
Okay. Yeah, so we won't tell them. And we'll have them watch this. And, yeah, this is going to be great. You just got fucked by J.J. Watt again. All you had to do was do 99. You would have it twice right now.
That's my dad's fault.
The number was 99. So J.J. Watt, in the same week that he fucking did that to Hank, it hit again.
Oh,
Hank was so
God.
Mad. Dude, Hank. I was like, J.J. Watt did it again, and Hank didn't register for him for a second, and then I told him, and he was so upset.
Hank.
Oh, Hank, this is so bad. You keep getting worse.
No, bless you.
99.
Wow.
In your face, Hank.
And this is all?
You were
wow.
so bad.
Yeah, no, it's recorded. So we recorded it. I made fun of him. I also... We did have a discussion, PFT, because he guessed 59 because it was his dad's birthday, and I was like, nice flex on PFT there. So, yeah, it was a whole thing. He just couldn't have been a worse one for Hank. 99. No, J.J. Watt tweeted you 3 days ago asking how it was going.
I thought that was nice, Hank. Hank put up a picture of him with his dad the other day. I thought that was sweet.
Yeah.
Well, it was his birthday yesterday, and, you know, you got me in my feels. I apologize if it hurt your feelings. I want to apologize for gassing my dad up.
Would you trade your dad for a lottery ball win?
At this point,
it's a fair question. It's not. I don't
We've
think
had
he
a
would.
Lot of, a lot of good memories.
I don't think he would. Yeah. But it's definitely like it's gotten so long that it's a pause. You know, it's like when you get a trade request and it's like, it's a no, but yeah. it wasn't like a no hang up. It was a no.
Memes drop the meme of the guy with the long hair making the steeple with his fingers trade request. Thanks, Dad, for one lottery ball.
Oh, man. All right. We'll see everyone on Monday.
Love you guys.
Bats are the only mammals that can fly. Better to be safe than sorry.